We begin this series in Pirkei Avos with Perek Gimel Mishnah Yud Beis, Chapter 3, Mishnah 12. The Mishnah reads, Rabbi Shmuel Amar Rabbi Shmuel said, Havikal Rosh, we'll just use a basic translation over here in coming Shi'urim, we will go ahead and interpret and reinterpret these words, but for now we'll just use the most literal translation possible. Rabbi Shmuel said, Havikal Rosh, literally, be yielding or easy to a superior, V'noach Litish Choresh, pleasant to those who are young, and receive every person with happiness, or receive every person cheerfully. So throughout our journeys in Pirkei Avos over the years, we've discovered that in order to truly appreciate the teaching of any particular rabbinic personality in Pirkei Avos, one must first understand who the individual is. We need a little bit of biographical background. We need to understand who they are, what the individual went through, life circumstances, in order to understand why the particular rabbinic personality placed so much emphasis on this particular teaching. So before we get into the substance of Rabbi Shmuel's teaching, let's spend a little bit of time focusing on Rabbi Shmuel himself. There is a source sheet that's attached. If you go on the website, you'll be able to download the particular the source sheet. So remember, again, in source number 2, we read about Rabbi Shmuel, or you should say Rabbi Shmuel shows up each and every day in our lives, as he's part of tefillah, right before we begin Pesukei Dezimra. So we recite the phrase, we recite the paragraph of Rabbi Shmuel Omer, B'shloshes Rei Midos HaTorah Nedresh HaSpoen. Rabbi Shmuel, of course, was instrumental in solidifying or concretizing, really compiling, the 13 exegetical principles, the 13 different ways through which we go ahead and we darshan the various Sukkim and various ideas in the Torah. But the truth is, Rabbi Shmuel's influence on us really begins already from his childhood. There's a dramatic Gemara in Maseches Gittin. The Gemara appears on Nun Ches Amud Aleph 58a, which is source number 3 on the sheet. The Gemara says, Tan Rabbanon, Meis Rabbi Yehoshua ben Chananya, Shehalach L'krach Godol Sheberomi. There was once an episode of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Chananya who went to the large city in Rome, the metropolis of Rome. Amar Lo, when he got there, Amrullah, it was said to him, Tinok echad yesh bebeis hasurim. They told him about the young Jewish child who was incarcerated, Yefei naim v'tov ro'i, ukitzosav seduros lo tatalim. They were told about a child, and the description here is very interesting, with beautiful eyes, good looks, and beautiful curls. Beautiful curls. Now, just as an aside, what's interesting to note here is the following. Under normal circumstances, so when throughout Tanakh, when we find eyes being used as in a description of beauty, it's almost always used as a description for women. For example, the first time this comes up is what I think is a pasuk that's often understood only in a very narrow way. The pasuk, when it introduces us to Rachel and to Leah, tells us that Ve'ene Leah Rakos, the eyes of Leah were rakos, which we normally translate as soft. V'Rachel haisa yifastra v'yifasmara. Rachel was very beautiful in appearance, very beautiful in form. So Rashi HaKadosh, which is the commentary that most of us are familiar with, understands this pasuk as a contrast. That the Torah is telling us that on one hand, Rachel Yemeinu was exceptionally beautiful, but ene Leah rakos, but Leah, her eyes were soft. And Rashi HaKadosh says, he understands soft in the context of crying. Specifically, Rashi understands, he quotes the Medrash that says that people used to say, you know, that Lavan has two daughters, Rivka, his sister, has two sons, so it'd be normal to make a shidduch between the cousins. So we assume that the older son of Rivka will marry the older daughter of Lavan, the younger son of Rivka will marry the younger daughter of Lavan, and as such, again, from the time that she was a little girl, Rashi quotes that that Leah heard that she was going to marry Esav, and she was so distressed over this proposed shidduch that literally, again, she spent years crying, to the point that Rashi HaKadosh says that her eyes were red, her eyes were swollen from all the crying, and as such, this crying detracted from her beauty, as opposed to Rachel Imenu, whose beauty was untainted, was untouched. But the Sfarno and many of the other Mefarshim, all understand the idea that Ene Leah Rakos actually speaks about beauty, and the idea being The idea being that whereas Rachel Yemenu was exceptionally beautiful, Leah Yemenu possessed a level of exquisite beauty, specifically beauty of her eyes. You know, we have this phrase that the eyes are the windows to the soul, that there's something about beautiful eyes that highlight a deeper dimension of beauty. Leah Imenu possessed this type of beauty. And as such, again, the Pasuk says, Ve'ina Leah Rakos. Amazingly enough, if we fast forward a little bit, when we're introduced to David HaMelech, the great-great-great-great-grandson of Leah Imenu, so one of the ways in which David HaMelech is described is beautiful eyes as well, which again is normally not a male characteristic. So Chazam, the Mefarshim teach us that whenever you see somebody described with beautiful eyes, it means that there's a depth. It means that there's more than meets the eye. It means that there might be a beauty, but there's a deeper beauty as well. There's a deeper wellspring. There's something else that is here. There's something else that is possessed. So amazingly enough, the Gemara, when introducing us to young Yishmael, who we're going to see, he's introduced again with beautiful eyes. Habach va'amad al-Pesach beis hasurim. So ultimately, Rabbi Shimon ben Chananya goes, he stands by the entranceway of the jail. See, he's trying to figure out who this boy is. Amar, so he quotes the pasuk from Yeshayahu. Minasam l'mashisi Yaakov, Yisrael l'bozes in. So he quotes a partial pasuk from Yeshayahu. And the way he's using the phrase is he's lamenting what God has done to the Jewish people. Who has allowed Yaakov to be trampled upon? Who has allowed Yaakov ultimately again for spoil and plunder? In other words, the pasuk, the way he's phrasing it is almost an accusation at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ribono shel Olam, how could you have allowed us to suffer so much that there's even a young child sitting and rotting away in a Roman prison? Amar Osatinok. So the little boy responds and he finishes off the pasuk. Halo Hashem zu chatanu lo, v'lo avu bidrachav haloch, v'lo shamu b'toraso. So the little boy responds with the end of the pasuk that essentially says that Ribono shel Olam punished us because of our deeds. What has happened to us is a result of our misdeeds. What has happened to us is a result of our missteps. What's happened to us is a result of our negative behaviors. So in this incredible exchange, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Chananya is distressed about what's happening to the little boy. The little boy responds, no, it's not a Kodesh Baruch Hu to be blamed. We are the masters of our fate. We are responsible for what happens. This all came about because of our own misdeeds. Ha'avoda, Amar. So Rabbi Yehoshua ben Chananya hears this and he's blown away. And he says, Amar muftachani bo, shamora hora abi Yisrael. I have no doubt that this child is going to be a great posek, a great halachic decisor for the Jewish people. Ha'avoda, I swear, shenizaz mikan ad sheftenu b'chamam sheposkin alav. I will not leave until I redeem him for all of the money in the world. In other words, no matter what it takes, I will go ahead and redeem him. Amru, they said, lozaz misham ad shepadab amon harbe. Sure enough, they had to pay a lot of money to redeem this little boy. V'lo hayu yamim mu'atin ad shehora hora abi Yisrael. And it wasn't long before this boy developed into a young scholar who became a halachic decisor, a posek for Klal Yisrael. And Manu, who was this young boy? Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. So this is none other than the Tana, than the author of our Mishnah, Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. So amazingly enough, we see now again what the circumstances were that allowed Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha to be taken into captivity. The Gemara doesn't tell us, but what we do know is that from a very young age, he has already tasted the sting of suffering and the sting of defeat. What happened to his parents, what happened to his family is not clear, but one thing is clear, which is as a young child, he's already incarcerated in a Roman prison. So this Gemara is important on a number of different reasons. First of all, it provides us with the earliest piece of biographical information about Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. What it also does is it tells us that, again, through the description of the eyes, that Rabbi Shmuel ben Chananya saw that there was something special about this boy. There was something deep about this boy. What's also incredible about this Gemara, and we'll see this come in later on in Rabbi Shmuel's life, is the ability to be matzdik es hadin, the ability to accept divine judgment. That Rabbi Shmuel ben Chananya, as a little boy, already recognizes that all that God does is just. All that the Ribono Shel Olam performs is just. I don't understand it. It may hurt. It may be painful. But I accept it as the Ratzon HaBorei. I accept it as the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the ability for such a young boy to be able to have this level of spiritual maturity is quite dramatic. I'll just mention as an aside that this Gemara is often quoted in halachic literature because it seems to go against another halachic principle which we have. The Gemara Maseches Gittin discusses the idea of Ein Podin Es HaShvuyin Yosir Mikdei Demehen. You cannot redeem captives for more than their value. So leaving aside, however, we determine the value of an individual, but the idea of the Gemara is that we don't go ahead and redeem captives. I mean, there's a cap. There's a cap on how much we redeem captives, and at the end of the day, we don't want to incentivize kidnappings, and we don't want to incentivize, you know, the Gentile authorities or Gentile individuals from kidnapping Jews in order to extort the Jewish community. So there's a cap. Yet, amazingly enough, Rabbi Shmuel ben Hananya goes ahead and redeems young Yishmael ben Elisha for an exorbitant amount of money. So Tosas comments on this, and Tosas says that there are exceptions to this rule. Among those exceptions are individuals who are considered to be important cogs in the wheel or important assets for Klal Yisrael. If someone is a manik, if someone is a leader, if someone is in everybody's necessary. But if someone is necessary on a leadership level, you could redeem them even for a greater amount of money. This came up again historically when the Maharam of Rotenberg was taken captive as well. And although halachically, the Jewish communities would have been within their right to redeem him even for an exorbitant amount of money, the Maharam himself issued explicit prohibition of doing so, lest the Gentiles extort these opportunities in the future. So this is the beginning of Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. I'll just show you one incredible piece, one more additional piece, kind of to close out this first part of our shir. There's another Gemara Maseches Gittin, and the Gemara says this Gemara is on the same daf, just a little while later. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, Ma'aseh bibno ubebito Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, shenishbu l'shnei adonim. There's a dramatic story about the son and daughter of Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, who themselves were taken into captivity and were sold to two different Roman masters. So again, it turns out that they were sold to two different masters and obviously lost contact. Some time goes by, and the two masters happen to be in the same place. This master said, I have a slave boy whose beauty is unparalleled. Everyone said, I have a slave girl whose beauty is unparalleled. Amru. So they made a deal. Let's go ahead and get them together, and we'll split the offspring. So they put the young boy and the young girl into the room together in pitch darkness. The young man sat in his corner. The young woman sat in her corner. The boy said, how could it be? Lamenting his plight. How could it be? I'm a Kohen, the son of a Kohen Gadol. We will discuss it. Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha was a Kohen Gadol. How could it be that I, the Kohen, the son of a Kohen Gadol, going to marry a maid servant, a slave girl? And the young woman said, the daughter of Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha said, I am the daughter of a Kohen, the granddaughter of Kohanim Gedolim. Could it be that I'm going to marry a slave? They went ahead and they cried the entire night. When the sun came up, so the whole night they sat in their respective corners crying. They did not realize who they were in the room with. The next morning the sun came up, they recognized each other. They literally fell onto each other's shoulders and cried out, Ad sheyatza nishmasan, until their souls left their bodies. So if you could imagine this scene, the sunlight comes, the first dawn breaks, the brother and sister recognize that they have found each other. They fall into each other's arms and they cry and they cry and they cry until literally again their neshamas leaves their body, left their body. And about them, Yirmiyahu HaNavi said, for these I cry, the tears keep falling down my eyes. And in fact, we're familiar with this story, not only from the Gemara Maseches Gittin, but because we have an entire kino that is devoted to the son and on Tisha B'Av, an entire kino that is devoted to the son and daughter of Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. This story is so exceptionally dramatic. It's dramatic, you know, Rav Soloveitchik comments in his parish on kinos. So the Rav says that why would we single out a story of one boy and one girl when there are so many millions upon millions of deaths that we mourn on Tisha B'Av? And the Rav says that sometimes when numbers get very big, like millions, it's hard to wrap your head around what that means. Sometimes people feel the loss in a more profound way, not when you talk about millions, but when you talk about two. When you tell the story of a brother and sister, that's when people begin to feel the enormity and the profundity of the loss. So I'm sharing this Gemara with you because you see in a dramatic, almost unimaginable circle, that Bishmael ben Elisha's life begins in captivity in Rome. As a child, he's held captive in Rome. And again, we see as a result of the Korban, we'll see as a result of Hadrianic persecution, his own children are sold off into captivity and die as well. It appears that Bishmael ben Elisha was no stranger to loss and no stranger to adversity. There's another Gemara, Maseches Moed Katan. This is number 5 on the sheet. The Gemara says, Tan Rabbanon, Kishemeso Banov Shrabi Shmael, Nichnusu Arbazikin Lenachemo. The Gemara here tells a story of a group of Rabbanim who were coming in to be Menachem Ava Barabi Yishmael. Now, they were coming to comfort him after the loss of his children. Now, does this mean the loss of the children described above, the son and the daughter in captivity, or does it refer ultimately again to a different son and daughter? So that's not clear. The Gemara doesn't tell us. But what is clear is that Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha suffered loss. And not just his own personal tragedy of his childhood in a Roman prison. Who could imagine the barbaric circumstances, the horrific circumstances of having to spend time in such a place as a child, but even as he got older, and even as he became established in Eretz Yisrael, and even ultimately, again, as he has his own family, his life begins in Rome, his children's lives end in Rome. And we see again this man who from a young age is no stranger to tragedy, but because he had, even as a child, this ability to be matzdik es hadin, this ability to go ahead and accept divine justice, because of that, he was able to weather all of these storms. Because of that, even the most horrific tragedies did not cause him to lose his Judaic footing. He kept on accomplishing, he kept on growing, he kept on giving, he kept on leading despite all of the incredible adversity. We'll stop over here for today. This will be part one of our Shir Emeret Hashem. We'll continue with Perek Gimel Mishnah Beis Emeret Hashem tomorrow. Wishing everyone a wonderful day.